The Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Good Wednesday. Thanks for being with us. We are in Las Vegas. We are at the South Point, actually at the studios of VSiN, which we appreciate their support here in Vegas, sports360az.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. How you doing?
Doing well.
Yeah?
How are you?
I'm fine. I'm fine.
Like how you were going to pull down my mic like this was my first rodeo and I didn't know how
I wasn't sure.
Were.
We're out of our
It's great to see you.
We're out of our comfort zone, so
I spent
to speak.
The last 2 days with you, so it's nice to see you again and sit 3 inches from you.
Yes, we want to make sure you can see. We have Brian Mueller, the president of Grand Canyon, who's going to come up with us here in about 10 minutes. Here in Vegas, it's the Pac-12 tournament, which starts today. So you'll hear from Bobby Hurley. Bobby and I went one-on-one yesterday once we landed on the ground here in Vegas. And then Kyle Dodd, as the annual tradition of us coming to Vegas, we always put Kyle Dodd on the show the first day because
it's tradition, and we've been doing it since we started doing this 7 years ago. And I don't know why, but when I texted him yesterday, he was almost like, yeah, I was expecting your text. Yeah. I knew it was coming. I didn't know if it was going to be yesterday, today, maybe later on in the week. Let's hope ASU is still playing later on in the week.
Well, that's why we always have them on the first day.
Yeah, that's true.
Because they usually aren't.
It's better to be safe.
It's better to get Kyle on the air and to make sure that we have him on and we have the entertainment from Kyle Dodd. So that comes up in a bit.
He knows his stuff.
Yeah, I want to ask him about, it's funny we're having President Mueller on today, about President Crow's comments about Bobby Hurley. We'll get into that in a minute. But first, our opening comments brought to you by Sagicor Now. Sagicor Now doesn't matter if we're away from home or not, and for you too, you've got to think about your life insurance. Log on to Sagicor Now. Sagicor Now, protect what matters most. Think about your life insurance and get your free quote. Get it online and do it now at Sagicor.com. We appreciate Sagicor and their support. Our coverage here in Vegas brought to you by our good friends at Columbus Craft Meats. Columbus Craft Meats, for the third year in a row, said, go to Vegas. We love the partnership with you. This is what we call content marketing. They like being with us. We like being with them. It's a win-win. Fans like it. And you get your Columbus Craft Meats here at the start of March Madness. So ASU is Colorado today. And the game comes up this afternoon. Are we thinking they win? Colorado's starting three freshmen.
Yes, I think ASU wins today.
The Buffaloes have lost 4 or 5. ASU hasn't seen Colorado in a long, long time.
They split. Both the game, home teams won.
I felt the game in Boulder that ASU lost in overtime started the demise of the season. It started going down the wrong path. There's somewhere around that first half, I'm watching ASU, and they're just crushing Colorado. There's nothing going on for the Buffaloes. And then they woke up, and then they went into overtime, and then they beat ASU. And from there, ASU struggled against Utah, and the slow descent started.
Yep.
We caught up with Bobby Hurley yesterday. This was yesterday at Shoot Around. Bobby and I went one-on-one. This was earlier.
Feels like it's been a long time, and it has been, since you've seen Colorado. So what are you expecting tomorrow here?
Well, they got us the first time. Their zone was effective. We didn't shoot it great. I think the one common denominator, though, is really how hard they played in both games and their rebounding ability. So, you know, we have to take care of the paint, make sure that we're physical, that we, that we don't allow second chance points, and then we have to show, good shot selection, good decision making, to not allow them to get any easy transition points.
How's your health of your team?
Doing well, I think. Yeah, good spirits, mentally and physically. So we're excited.
When you look at your team, what do you like most coming into this tournament?
I think my guard play. I think my guards, the core of my guards, are as good as any in the country. So in tournament time and single elimination situations, you want veteran, experienced, talented guard play. I have a level of comfort, when those guys are out there making plays. And they've done that on a lot of occasions this year. So that's probably the most thing.
You've played big games already, so coming into an environment like Vegas, coming into a tournament, shouldn't be that big of a deal for this team, right?
We've been challenged every game. I think that we surprised a lot of people early. We had some big wins against some of the best teams in the country on the road and neutrals. And, from there, we got the high ranking, and then when we got the league play, we were targeted. So we got everyone's best shot, and we played a lot of close games. So I always felt like that was key, too, especially when I played at Duke, and knowing that in the ACC, you're going to play a lot of tough games and you're battle tested, and you know, you want your team to be able to navigate through a lot of tough situations, and that's what postseason's about. So I think we've been in those spots, so hopefully we're prepared for it.
A lot of questions fans ask me, they'll say, Brad, is ASU in? I don't think you can worry about that. You got to go out and play, but I have to ask the question, do you think you're in March Madness right now?
Again, I'm not in that room, but I know what we've accomplished and the wins we've had are significant, especially, you know, on the road to Kansas, number one seed, and Xavier as well, easily. And Kansas State was another team that's doing very well in the Big 12, which is considered probably the best conference. So I think we have the non-conference. We've had other good wins in conference play, you know, 20-win season. So I feel like we've had a great year, and we're one of the best 68 teams in the country. I think we proved that in a lot of the body of the season.
Cannot lose, though, today. Just cannot lose to Colorado. So here's the thing about the bracketologists. So Charlotte is the destination, I think, because I'm one of those conspiracy guys that says this is CBS – and CBS is going to NTNT and all them. They're going to put Bobby Hurley in Charlotte because of the Duke thing.
That would make sense.
But Joe Lunardi has him, and Joe Lunardi's usually pretty much spot on. That's his deal. So today he has them after results last night. He has ASU playing Nevada in Dallas. Okay.
That'd be great for ASU.
And sure, no, it would be. I think the angle there with Nevada is Eric Musselman was a former assistant at Arizona State.
Yep, under Herb Sendak.
I think Eric wanted the job at Arizona State, quite frankly. Eric has been a lot of places. He's coached a lot of different spots. He is a unique character. I think that's the only way to put it myself. But, man, if they lose today, if they lose here to Colorado to a team that's starting three freshmen,
it's going to be close.
It's going to be
if they win today, it's almost a layup, no pun intended. That they make the tournament.
They're in.
Regardless of what happens against U of A tomorrow if they win today.
I know that people are like, well, it shouldn't come down to Colorado with the Kansas and Xavier thing. Guys, Colorado won one road game this year. One. They're just not. They lost to Washington State. So, you know, they're not good. So there's a lot around ASU today that when we're done here with the show, we'll head down to the T-Mobile Arena and we'll head over to that. So the winner of this game, ASU Colorado, plays against U of A.
Good luck with that.
Nice knowing you. Have a good run. However, so Alonzo Trier, last night I saw this tweet from Alonzo Trier, and it was talking about the numbers of shots and how he was not considered one of the top five shooting guards. And because of that, he seems a little bitter. Now, I don't know. I'm sitting here the opening day of the Pac-12 tournament, and like the last thing I want to see is Alonzo Trier going on social media talking about shot 50, 40, 90 in conference, getting 20 and up a game the whole season, not making the finalist list, been consistent all year. My body of work shows that. Opinions over stats, of course.
And 50-40-90 is 50% field goal, 40% threes, 90% free throws.
I mean, it's one of those deals where just go away, put your phone down.
It's also one of those situations where if you showed me this tweet and took the name off whoever the tweet was and said which U of A player tweeted this, you and I would both be like, oh yeah, that was definitely Alonzo.
Yeah, it is.
That's definitely Alonzo.
So what I'm wondering is tomorrow, and this will be a discussion for tomorrow's show, but just off the top, is he going to jack it up 20 times tomorrow to say, see, I know what I'm doing. You guys don't. He's always struck me as that guy. Not hate, it's fact. You don't put that nonsense out.
You also don't wear your Pac-12 credential everywhere, but Brad does. He wore it to the restaurant. He's wearing it around the hotel. It's pretty cool. I don't know.
I'm Rain Man. What do you want?
Yeah, I don't know. It's just funny. You, like in the cab, he's got his credentials.
What do you want? I don't even pay attention.
No, it's good. It's good.
Knowing
karma, I will lose my credential because I clowned on you for wearing yours.
That's fine. I like being clowned on. Kirk Cousins, we'll get into that later in the show. The Kevin Love story, Eric and I actually talked about this over breakfast this morning, and I saw it breaking yesterday talking about mental health. Guys, in this business, when I'm out meeting with medical professions, they will ask me, what can you do? What do you think? What is media's view of mental health? when I was in the TV business, it was hard to get that stuff done in the news world because coming up after the break, why is Aunt Harriet losing her mind? People aren't going to watch that. I had that example given to me, and I disagree with that, but we just don't go down that path. And for Kevin Love to open it up, it's pretty amazing. All right, Brian Mueller, president of Grand Canyon University. He's here in Vegas. Dan Marley trying to get GCU into the tournament for the first time ever. What's the expectations from the president of the university? We had Dan on yesterday. That's next. Welcome back here at the South Point Resort and Casino. We are being taken care of by Brent Musburger. It's very nice. And the people of Vissen, and Brian Musburger and Jimmy Vaccaro. It's always good to be here in Las Vegas and do the show year after year. It's usually around the Pac-12 tournament. This year, though, obviously with Grand Canyon University finally here on the big stage, there's a lot of buzz about that. Side note, Brent asked me to come on his show this afternoon, so I'll be on with Brent Musburger on his show. He wants me for an hour at 4 o'clock, and I'm sure somewhere along the day, it's over on SiriusXM in this studio, it's actually upstairs from us, we'll be talking about GCU and their matchup with Dan Marley. We'll talk quite a bit about the Lopes and where they're headed. Speaking of which, the president of the university, it's good to catch up with Brian Mueller. We've been going back and forth on when do you have time, and he's a busy man. I'm on the run, but he is here in Vegas. You are down at the arena. Where are you right now, President Mueller?
I'm out walking down the strip, getting my 5 miles in.
Attaboy. There you go. We like to hear that. Are you nervous about this? It's been a long buildup, Brian. Are you nervous?
No, we're excited. We're excited. A little bit of nervousness, but it's exciting to be here. You really forget what you missed out on during those 4 years. I was at the WCC championship game last night. The place was packed. It's a great environment. So we can't wait to get this thing underway. Our girls tip off at 12 o'clock today, and then the guys tip off at 12 o'clock tomorrow.
And Nicole Powell's done a great job. I'm going to head over to that game. Just talk about her a little bit and what she's done, her games, in just a few hours.
Well, she's very similar to Dan in that she three-time All-American at Stanford. She played 12 years of professional basketball, both here in the WNBA, and won two championships, one in Russia and one in Turkey. So a lot of professional experience. She was the lead recruiter for the University of Oregon, recruited the second-best class in the country 2 years ago. So I think she's going to be an incredible recruiter. She's got a lot to sell, so I expect the talent level to go up significantly in the next couple of years. We were very surprised this year.
Sure.
There was not much left, but she did a great job. She got them into third place. They're playing well now, so we'll see.
Yeah, I was going to say that's been the surprise, I think, of the basketball team. It was looking ahead at Dan so much, and Nicole's just going to take this thing over. But how is it that she's exceeded expectations, Brian? What's been the key this year from your view?
She's got some kids playing so much better than they played last year. She's not real big, but she's got some kids that can pass the ball. She's got some kids that can shoot the ball. And when they get going beyond the three-point line, they're tough to stop. And so, you know, they lost 2 weeks ago to Cal State Bakersfield by over 20 points at home. And we thought that's kind of that might be the limit of what they're capable of. And then they went to Cal State Bakersfield last week and beat them at Bakersfield. And so they're very similar to our guys' team in that our guys have won three in a row now. I think they're playing better than they have all season. And so I think both of them are peaking at the right time.
We're talking with Brian Mueller, president, Grand Canyon University. He is here in Las Vegas as well, as we have our coverage from South Point Resort and Casino, our coverage brought to you by Columbus Craft Meats. What is it with Dan in trying to get the offense on track from your view? I had Dan on yesterday. I mean, I've seen him try combinations. I've seen him try all sorts of different motivations to get his team going. What has it been with the offensive struggles, and have you seen enough to make you believe they've turned the corner?
Yeah, well, they needed somebody that if they had the ball, the other team had to double-team them. We didn't have anybody like that for the first half of the season, and so every possession was a struggle to score. Thankfully, we are unbelievable defensive team, and that kept us in it for the first half to two-thirds of the season. But Alejandro Laver has just come into his own. He was just voted first team all WAC as a freshman, and they can throw the ball to him now. And if you don't double team him, he's going to score. And so now Josh is getting open on the perimeter. Casey's getting open on the perimeter. Oscar's got room to take advantage of his quickness and his athletic ability. And so, it's, to me, it's really been Alessandro who has come into his own, and that has freed a lot of people up. And so Josh is shooting the ball better now. Casey's shooting the ball better. And if you don't double Oscar on the wing and he gets a half step on you, he'll dunk on you. So it's really been different these last three games, and we're hoping that continues into the tournament.
How have you handled, Brian, the struggles that Dan had earlier in the year? Do you stay away? Do you put the arm around the shoulder on him? How have you handled it? Because I know you wear your emotions on your sleeve. Dan wears his emotions on his sleeve. I felt early in the season it was kind of a grind for everybody. Tell me about that this year for you.
Well, you know, Dan is just an incredibly – he's the single most competitive human being I've ever been around. And he knows that we are firmly in his corner, 100% behind him. I think he's going to be a star in NCAA Division I college basketball as a coach. But, you know, in that period of time when we were transitioning, it was tough to get the kind of players we need to be consistently. You know, you think about the close games we lost this year. We lost to Boise on a 40-foot shot at the buzzer. We had Illinois beat. We were beating them for 38 minutes and just couldn't quite get it done at the end. We lost almost every close game because we didn't have a player to go to. And so, you know, Dan, he takes that stuff hard. He's unbelievably committed to the university. He's so passionate about fulfilling his responsibilities. He's just one of those guys. He knows, though, that that both Mr. Colangelo and I are completely behind him. It's a marriage made in heaven to have Dan Marley as the head coach of a private university in Phoenix, Arizona. And everybody knows about his capabilities from a basketball perspective, and everybody knew that he's a tremendously charismatic person. He's going to be a great recruiter as a closer. But what people don't know is how good a mind he has for basketball, how good a teacher he is. And they're running some very sophisticated, complex offensive sets. And when he gets a little bit more talent, which we believe will be next year, we're going to be tough to stop.
Before I get you out of here on a lighter note, the Havocs. So I'm hearing 700, 800 students. You're not on break, are you? I mean, these are just kids that are ditching class, Brian. We don't want to say that, but is this... I'm hearing you're, it's all serious. I'm hearing you're going to have a tremendous contingent at the Orleans.
There are 700 or 800 students coming out. A lot of them are here already. You know, that's just Grand Canyon. Our students amaze me every day. They're so loyal to the university. They're so grateful for everything that they've got. There's not an ounce of cynicism to them. You know, I tell people all the time, our kids do two things that amaze me. They sing and in chapel, and they cheer. And those are two really good things. And so it's going to be a lot of fun here. If we can win a couple games and get a little momentum going, you know, they just get behind the team in ways that people have never seen. And that's just kind of true throughout the university. We've got 19,000 students on our campus now, and 12,000 of them live on campus. And so it's just a very vibrant, alive, fun place to be. And you come to one of our games, you'll see that, and you'll see it out here at the Orleans tomorrow afternoon. We're looking forward to it, and they're going to be a big part of the show.
Before I get you out of here, do you have anything planned that fans that are listening, watching right now, tonight or tomorrow, for like pep rallies, that sort of thing? Down here at the South Point, they've got the New Mexico and San Diego State are staying here, and they've had cheerleading competitions and all sorts of stuff. Are you doing anything in the next 24 hours for fans?
Yes, 10:30 tomorrow morning, just outside the entrance to the Orleans Arena, there's going to be a pep rally. Okay. There'll be food out there, some things to drink. The band will be out there. The cheerleaders will be out there. Cool. And so we're going to use that time from 10:30 to 11:30 to get ready for the game. And so any GCU fans that are going to be there, whether it's alumni, our online students in Las Vegas, the parents of our students, you're all invited. 10:30 tomorrow morning, right outside the entrance to the Orleans Arena. Look for the purple. If you see purple, you'll know you're in the right place.
You can't miss it. I'll see you later today at your game. Appreciate the time. Thanks.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
It's Brian Mueller there, president of Grand Canyon University. Good stuff. You going to go to the pep rally tomorrow? Is that something that's going to be on your deal?
I don't think so. No.
What are you talking about?
No, I don't.
Is that?
I'm going to be covering ASU.
You're purple. You're a TCU guy. What are you talking about?
Purple's the color of royalty, of course. Why wouldn't I?
I think you should be pulled off that.
I'm going to be covering this ASU U of A game tomorrow.
So you think they're winning? ASU.
I think they're winning.
You think they're winning? Okay.
Colorado has won one road game. I don't know how they've done on neutral sites, but. I mean, and it will be neutral for that crowd today. I don't know how many people will be expected for the early game today between ASU and Colorado. But.
So Brian Mueller, when I was at Channel 3, when I was doing the TV thing, and he had hired Russ Pennell, and Russ said, you need to meet Brian Mueller. And I went over there. This was 2008, 2009, somewhere around there. And he walked me around the campus. He says, we're going to do this. We're going to do that. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. And all of it's happened. All of it's happened. Now, Russ left. Russ was let go, and Dan was brought in, and we all know how that's worked out in Phoenix sports lore.
Yep.
I'm very happy for Dan. I think Dan would probably vehemently disagree with me on this, but Robert Sarver may have done the biggest favor for Dan Marley, even though it was not handled correctly at all. Let's be clear about that. But Dan would still be sitting as an assistant coach.
And
probably.
Dan is so beloved at GCU.
He's done a great job.
He's beloved everywhere in the Valley, everywhere in the state.
Well, he's nationally, Dan Marley's name resonates nationally. And so if Dan has some success at GCU, they're going to come after him. I'm still convinced, and I'll talk to Kyle Dodd about this in a second, that what Michael Crow said about Bobby Hurley trying to control his temper, that's an interesting time to pick that spot. Because teams are going to come after Bobby. And we'll talk to Kyle Dodd about that next from Las Vegas. Our coverage brought to you by Columbus Craft Meats. We are at the South Point Resort and Casino. Our thanks to our good friend Jimmy Vaccaro for saying, come on down here and do the show. We're in the studios of Vissin. This is not their main studio. Their main studio is Palatial. This is close to Palatial.
Yeah, this is good down here.
Yeah, we like it. We're back after this timeout. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic AZ Central Sports. We are live in Las Vegas, courtesy of our friends at Columbus Craft Meats for the Pac-12 and WAC tournaments. We appreciate Columbus Craft Meats being the title sponsor. Another year of them here with us as we broadcast from the South Point Resort and Casino. We appreciate their hospitality. Speaking of another year, it is Kyle Dodd time. It's not that we don't like Kyle in November or December or January, but it's like Christmas morning and coffee. They go hand in hand. Kyle Dodd on the first day of the Pac-12 tournament in Vegas coming on with us. It goes hand in hand. I could make a joke, which you wouldn't like. It's we always put you on day one because there's never a day two. But that would be mean, and far be it for me to take a shot. So I'm just grateful that you would come on with us on a game day. How are you?
I'm good. That's what I was kind of wondering. I mean, I would have rather come on when we were 12-0 and number 3 in the country. Now I'm a little stressed out. I'm nervous, but anytime I get to hang out with you and Eric, I'm good. So,
All right. As long as you're fine with that. Okay. So yesterday we walk into the T-Mobile Arena, and first of all, Bill Frieder's trying to find his way in. He can't find his credential. That's not surprising. So we run into Frieds, and then there's all these Colorado people, and their question is, what is wrong with Arizona State? What has happened? Now, you've not played Colorado in a long time, but I'm just going to ask you straight up, what has happened? What is going on with Arizona State?
For a while there in the second half of the pack, obviously the first part of the Pac-12 schedule was pretty brutal schedule-wise, 5-7 on the road, and you start in Tucson, and then arguably the hardest Pac-12 road trip, which is the mountain trip. You get a trip within a trip and the altitude, and they were able to get a split there, but then just lost a couple home games that they probably, would like to have back in Oregon and Utah. But in the second half, it looked like they had started to figure out. They swept the LA schools, and then just, Arizona had them down 7 late in the second half and just wasn't able to close the deal. And then, obviously the Oregon trip was tough, and then, split on your last homestand, and you find yourself in a situation where you probably got to win today to salvage what was a very special season at one point.
Okay, so you're in that boat of winning today or you don't get in. That's where you stand on that?
Yeah, I mean, I guess I'm hearing, a lot of people say that. I think that ASU has proved that, you know, they can play with anybody anywhere. I mean, even in their 10 losses, they've all come in the single-digit variety, and every single one of those games was a game they could have won. So, you know, that being said, they had probably the two best non-conference wins in the country. They handled Xavier in a neutral site. I mean, like, really handled them. And then, you know, Kansas at Kansas. And I mean, obviously it wasn't a fluke. They were playing as good as anybody at that time. And I think they're one of the best, you know, 68 teams in the country. I think they deserve to be in, but I certainly understand how it all works. And we'll see how the committee thinks. But I think you would definitely do yourself a lot of favors by winning today. You know, I know the committee's emphasis this year is, you know, they don't do the last 10 games anymore, and they think, you know, an eagle on the fifth hole is just as important as an eagle on the 18th. But that being said, you don't want to have the committee understanding that you lost 5 out of 6 and trying to make a case to get into the tournament, you know.
No, and you're right. I mean, I appreciate your candor on that rather than just saying all is well, and it's not. I think, you know, Kyle, when I'm watching them play, I'm not seeing guard play as consistent as I saw earlier in the year, and the bigs just aren't there yet. And that's just me. And you know that Trey's going to have an off night. He's still first team all conference. I guess as I'm looking at it today, it still feels like it's an all or nothing team. If they hit their outside shots, they're going to advance. If they don't, they won't. Is that too simple a way to sum it up?
I mean, it's pretty basic with them. I mean, when they were playing at their best, all three guards were playing at the same time, you know, playing well, and everybody was hitting shots. You know, you do have to remember, like you said, the bigs are young. Romello White, just a freshman, Vitaly White, a freshman, and, you know, Daquan Lake playing his first year of major college basketball. So, I mean, those guys are kind of what you expect, I mean, at this point in the year. But I think it really, as crazy as it sounds, it's a simple game when the ball goes through the hoop. And when ASU's making shots, you know, it just seems like everything else kind of falls into place. And I think when they're making shots, they're playing at their pace and their tempo, and you know, the floor is spaced and open. And when they're not, they tend to press a little bit. But, you know, I think everybody's just waiting for them to try to recapture that December magic that they had. And, you know, even at times this year, like I said, you know, the LA weekend or a couple of, you know, a good road win at Utah in a hostile environment. I mean, there's times that it's been there, but I just think that's where the frustration sets in, is, you know, it's there and you're just waiting for it to come back.
Okay. You were a very good guard when you played at Arizona State, and I'm not blowing smoke. So I'm just wondering, as you look at the guards, get specific with me on the guard play and who's got to figure it out. From my view, it's Shannon Evans consistently. And now you're down to just a one game, one half, one possession is really what it's coming down to. But as a guard and the mentality, which one of these guards has got to figure it out today?
You know, I think Shannon's been a point, you know, all year that, you know, he's hit big shot after big shot and in a lot of the wins. But I think when he's playing well, you kind of know what you're going to get out of Trey. And, you know, Trey did hit a little bit of a slump, but, you know, Trey's going to give you what he's going to give you at the point, and Cody is going to do a little bit of everything. And I think, you know, it's really important that Cody makes shots too. It changes the game. But yeah, Shannon's a guy, I think, that's the X factor. I think when he's got it going and he's playing with confidence, it's kind of like, hey, anybody that gets it can go with it. And when they're playing their best, they're sharing the basketball, they're pushing the head, they're trusting each other. And, you know, add Remy to the mix, and, you know, when the four guards are playing well, then they're tough to beat. I mean, they're coming at you from all different angles, and I think that's why they're in every game, is that they're so tough to guard. But, you know, I think if I had to point to one guard, it would be, you know, Shannon. I think if Shannon shoots the ball at a high clip, they're generally, you know, have a chance to get a win.
A couple other questions with Kyle Dodd. We'll let him go. Broadcast later today with Tim Healy on the Sun Devil Radio Network. Of course, Kyle, the longtime Sun Devil basketball radio analyst. Were you surprised by Michael Crow's comments about Bobby Hurley trying to control his emotions during the course of the game?
No, I think it was President Crow's way of just saying that he loves that about Bobby, but he also wants him to, you know, it's obviously his philosophy that you're not going to change the officials' minds, and he wanted him to try to corral it a little bit, but. You know, I think you that's what you get with Coach, and I know the players appreciate it. You know, he's battling for them, and I think it's been frustrating in the league with just, you know, the officiating's been, it's not that it's been bad. It's just that I think every night it's a different style. It's a, you know, I think, and I always maintain it just, you know, if you can tell me how you're going to call it as a player, I got to adjust, just like a pitcher in a strike zone. You know, if you're going to give me the outside corner or you're going to give me that low strike, as a pitcher and a hitter, you're going to adjust. And same way with basketball. And I think that's the frustration is, you know, coaches, he wants it so bad for them. I think sometimes it boils over. And I think the main thing is as long as the players can contain themselves and use it to their advantage, then they're great. But I think that's the best part about Coach Hurley is how competitive. I've never been around anybody that competitive that wants it more. I think he's just mad he can't lace it up, you know, lace him up with the fellas.
Yeah, because he's right in front of you as you're broadcasting the game. You can hear everything he's saying. I see your broadcast position. I'm just wondering, are there times where he walks down the tunnel and out on the floor and you see who's calling the game and you know, Kyle, you know, okay, this is not going to be a good night for ASU. I'm not asking for names. I'm just wondering if it's that obvious to you.
Yeah, to be honest, there's a couple guys in the league that I think, not like they have it out for him, but there's a couple officials that I think are more sensitive to it. And it's been, there's been a couple guys that are on when they're calling our games, you get the sense that, this could be interesting. So, and I think that's, you know, probably the nature of college basketball. And I've always said, I'm like, I don't know who in their right mind would ever want to be an official anyway, because even if you nail it, you call your best game, you make every call right, I can guarantee you there's still someone in that arena or a big group of fans that still hate you. So it's just it's a thankless job, you know, it really is.
Give me 30 seconds on Colorado today. They play three freshmen, I know, and actually four according to their guys, but your view on Colorado today and what they're going to throw at ASU.
I think ASU, they're going to see a healthy dose of pick and pop. That's what they did the first two games against ASU. They're going to they want to make the bigs have to, you know, hedge hard and back to their man. I think that's where they've had success against ASU. And, you know, George Hill is an X factor to me. He kind of does a little bit of everything. And when he steps out and makes shots, you know, they're a good basketball team. But I think it's a good matchup for ASU. I think they definitely a winnable game. And, you know, they have to win, and we'll see if they can put it together and play with some, an extreme sense of urgency today.
Good stuff. I'll see you over at the arena, as will Eric. Thanks for the time.
All right, Brad.
As always, Kyle Dodd with us, ASU color analyst. On the other side, so Peyton Manning, did he have some inside knowledge about Papa John's? I'll explain that. Plus, $10 million a year for Peyton Manning to be an analyst for NFL games. That's the number being thrown around this morning. And Kevin Love talking about mental health and Kirk Cousins, a lot to get to on the other side. From Las Vegas, our coverage brought to you by Columbus Craft Meats. We appreciate Columbus Craft Meats as our title sponsor here at the South Point Resort and Casino. Stay with us. All right, in our remaining moments, there's a few stories. So Kirk Cousins, not a surprise that he is now out there. Free agency starts next week. Boatload of money, Minnesota, the Jets, Fitz is recruiting him. We know that. But the Cardinals now have a shot with Case Keenum and Kirk Cousins, both yesterday not being put in a position where they're stuck, and next week free agency starts. So that's interesting to me. If I had to choose between, I just can't imagine Kirk Cousins being the highest paid quarterback in the National Football League.
Imagine it, because it's going to happen.
It doesn't roll off the tongue.
I know, but it's the reality
Kirk
of the situation.
Kirk Cousins, highest paid quarterback in the NFL. Highest paid means best.
Not always.
If Kirk Cousins comes here, well, that's true. Matthew Stafford was highest.
Indeed.
Man. If Kirk Cousins comes to the Cardinals, does that instantly vault them to the top of the NFC West? I'd say no.
I'd say no, but it puts them in contention.
It puts them in contention, correct. But it doesn't vault them to the top of the heap.
Right now, the Cardinals are 75-1 to win the Super Bowl.
Oh, you went and saw?
I saw it on Twitter.
Okay. Right. We're going to go to the book.
With Kirk Cousins, I wonder how far down that number drops. I wonder how much better the odds are.
Do you think
are.
Mr. Vaccaro would join us from here at South Point and throw that out?
Possibly.
Possibly. I don't know. We'll see him in the next
He's a busy
days.
Guy, but he's around.
Peyton Manning. How about this one? Peyton Manning sold his 31 Papa John's franchises the day before.
Smart.
Hey, I think I should probably sell. Or, hey, you might want to sell. How do you think that one went down?
Probably the latter. Yeah, like, thinking, hey, I've been hearing something with Papa John's.
You might want to bolt on this.
Yeah. Get rid of him.
Peyton Manning, $10 million a year by Fox.
It's not my money.
Or ESPN.
Sort of like, honestly, and it's you could say the same thing, Brad, about Kirk Cousins. It's not, I know they have to be frugal about how they spend their money, but I don't care how these teams spend their money.
But do you,
it doesn't impact me. I don't lose sleep if Kirk Cousins is going to be the highest paid quarterback.
Do I have to, am I going to race home any faster to see Peyton? It's all because the Cowboys are playing the Steelers in prime time. So we have to make sure that we have Peyton Manning there on top of the football game, because the people that are writing the check, advertisers, need more than just the football game. I mean, is Peyton Manning really going to get people? Tony Romo was great.
Manning is a great pitch man. I don't know if that will make him a great analyst.
I don't see anybody out there better than Tony Romo right now, myself.
Romo's really good.
But I don't tune in to hear what Tony Romo has to say.
No.
I'm in a lot of places on NFL Sunday where there's no volume. Doesn't mean anything to me. I'm not at sports bars. Or if I'm zipping through a game at night, I don't care who's doing the game. But man, $10 million here. Kevin Love and mental health. Now, this is a story that's not just going to be 24 hours in the news cycle, in my humble opinion.
And there's no real easy way to seamlessly transition from Peyton Manning into what Kevin Love talked about yesterday.
No, and when Kevin Love says that mental health is, quote, an everyone thing, okay? And his quote was well beyond that. There was so much depth around him yesterday. And you can hate on Kevin Love all you want as a basketball fan. I've sat here for the last 3 years and said the Suns need to go get Kevin Love, and they still can't figure out how to go get Kevin Love. What he said yesterday was so powerful and so impactful to so many people on a platform, on a subject that by and large is uncomfortable for people to talk about.
Especially athletes, especially yes. High profile athletes, actors, actresses, models, whatever.
You don't think he's going to walk into an arena in Atlanta or L.A. or Phoenix, or the Cavaliers are here next week, in Phoenix next week, and some dope is going to stand up and say, hey, dude, you're crazy, man. He's going to hear stuff.
Yeah, he's been hearing things for a long time.
But he's been hearing stuff.
Different
stuff than this.
Than that.
I respect the hell out of him.
Oh,
this.
For sure.
I'm not one of those that would say, well, I don't want that guy on my team. No, you know what? Actually, I do want that guy on my team, because he's getting himself in touch with what's going on internally.
And DeMar DeRozan sort of said some things recently, but yes. It has a lot more impact when it comes from a player like Kevin Love.
Well, sure. And the fact that LeBron James stood behind him on it, he immediately got out in front on Twitter, and he was very vocal about it, too. I just thought that was a good day. The NBA... If this happened in the NFL, oh my gosh, the world would be turned upside down today. A player had a panic attack? That doesn't happen. This is a big, bad NFL. NBA, yeah, we have panic attacks. Steve Kerr sits there and talks about how we need a change in the presidency. He talks about gun control. He talks about having players go back into college if they're not drafted. Greg Popovich talks about everything under the sun. The NBA is very comfortable. And I admire this. They're very, very comfortable in talking about social issues. And it's not forced. It's not like people, you get the feeling sometimes of some of these leagues, they sit around a boardroom and say, how are we going to present ourselves to be more attractive and appealing to the masses rather than just, this is who we are.
Particularly the sport that we just talked about a few minutes ago.
The NFL.
Yeah.
Okay. We talked about a lot of sports here in the last half hour or hour. We're going to take off now. We're done. We're actually just getting started, to be truthful. We're done with this. Now we go over to the games. Then we come back. We put stuff up online. And then Eric and I are going to go crush a buffet somewhere. I don't know. We crushed one this morning.
I wouldn't say we crushed it.
I did.
We crushed our dinner last night.
Oh my gosh. Have you ever done Steak and Shake where seconds at Steak and Shake?
Seconds, as in two burgers. See, as in,
and I did five-way chili and a burger to start. I didn't go for seconds. Disgusting. I just did it.
It's disgusting.
I'm on the right side of the grass, man.
I at least pace myself.
I'm on the right side of the grass. I may have my cred on. You may make fun of me about wearing my cred. I have to know who I am after all
if
that.
If I keel over during the game today, you'll know why. that's not going to happen.
Jordan Hamm producing back in the studio today. Jared Nielsen, the chairman of the board, as always. Edwin Rodriguez helping out. Haley Stasiak as well. For Eric, I'm Brad. Thanks again to Columbus Craft Meats. So long from Vegas. We'll see you here tomorrow.